Well, we hope it's been a great Sunday afternoon for you, wherever you're listening to us. This is The Nation. I'm Chris Lowe and Austin Price here with engineer extraordinary Jay Lyford as we are coming to you live from The Nation studios on the kind of day that I'd like to be out on the golf course hitting the golf ball around. Certainly no drama on the back nine at Augusta National today, AP.
It equates to basically what Jay's got up here on the screen, which is a bunch of code, and you don't know really what it says. But, yeah, a very boring Masters, especially on Sunday. Kind of the most boring Masters to me since 2008 when Trevor Immelman won. And that day there were no roars, and I think the only roar that there were that was heard that day was when Tiger made about a 50-footer on 11, but Immelman coasted around the back nine with nobody pushing him, and that's exactly what Hideki Matsuyama is doing right now.
Putting on a clinic is what he's done. You talk about a guy who can strike the golf ball. He is outstanding at that. As I said, this is The Nation. Great to be with you. We took last Sunday off for Easter. We're here this Sunday. We're here again next Sunday. We hope to catch up with Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel today. The Vols going through an open practice yesterday at Neyland Stadium and then scrimmaged this past week, their scrimmage. So we'll hope to catch up with Josh at some point this show. AP, you know, I know you follow that football team very closely. You guys had some chances to get out there and watch some practice this year. Obviously the offense is completely different than what they ran last year, but what else other than the obvious looks a lot different to you when you're just being around the team, talking to the coaches, the players?
Well, I think just the attitude. And that's something that Coach Heupel came in, and as a staff, not just him, but everybody, support staff, you know, the 10 on-the-field coaches that he hired, you know, I think they were really trying to build up the confidence. So, you know, trying to keep the everything around the program to be really positive. You know, I felt like this program needed that. You know, I mean, been a long off season. The players sat back. They watched it all unfold, whether it be the you know, lack of offense last year or – you know, the investigation, the off-season drama, out goes an AD, out goes a head coach and all the position coaches, in comes a new AD, in comes a new position coach. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where ultimately, you know, this staff has been working on building them up, Chris. And we do have Josh Heupel on the line, and we want to go to the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. Coach Heupel, thanks for joining us, and welcome into The Nation.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me back on here. It's been too long.
We can have you out every week.
you just bring us dinner, Josh, and it's a plan. How about that, man? We'll sit here and have dinner.
That sounds good.
Hey, listen, I know you we were talking just before you came on. You had the open practice yesterday. You had your scrimmage this week. What do you like best to this point about your football team, what you've seen about them?
I think the biggest thing is that they're competing to get better every single day. It does matter to them. They are a prideful group. We're nowhere near where we need to be and where we're going to be by the time we kick off next fall. But they are a group that's taking coaching, and I think the culture is absolutely changing. There's an accountability piece from within our locker room that's starting to take hold, something that was missing in the beginning of this process for sure, something that they recognized was missing. And that doesn't change overnight, but guys are starting to grab onto it. And when it starts changing inside the locker room, the demand of who and what they're going to be every day, that gives us a chance on the practice field and eventually on the game field.
You know, you talk about the culture. When you come into a new program, okay, and you've played football at a high level as a quarterback, you've coached at a high level. When you're taking over a new program, Josh, is that the hardest thing? Is that the greatest challenge for a coach to sort of get the infrastructure, the culture, everything you want the way you want it?
Yeah, I think for sure that's a piece of it. I know, just having gone through a rebuild as a coach or as a player, excuse me, coming into Oklahoma, a team that hadn't been to a bowl game for, I think, 5 straight years before I got there as a player. New coaching staff. I think the number one thing that you have to do is you got to have a really clear vision of who you are, what are going to be the demands inside of your program, and how you're going to get there. And then your players got to latch onto it, and the accountability piece is critical. It's the foundation of any relationship that you have. It's the foundation of any program. Guys got to be willing to do what it takes to, every single day to get themselves to gain the inches that you need. And our guys have, you know, they've learned that. And we're a whole lot better than we were week one to week two to week three. We've continued to get better, but we've got to continue to push and hold each other accountable and take those steps. But they are that. And there's a pride inside of this group. You know, a year ago, the disappointment, they hear the outside noise, and it matters to them that, that this becomes a place of pride for them, but for the state too.
How much do you have to weigh, Coach, you know, understanding you're only, you know, halfway through spring practice, install still a long way to go to get to be complete, and that, you know, you're missing some key players, whether it be a Jimmy Holiday on offense who's limited, or, you know, Jeremy Banks and Roman Harrison on defense. I mean, you're missing some key pieces there that will probably be able to help you come September. So, I mean, how much do you, you know, not worry about the end result of a practice and more worry about, like, the individual pieces that are coming together to make the whole complete?
I think, you know, for us as a collective group, at the end of it, you look at the attitude and effort. That's something we grade every single day. That does matter. But then it comes down to individual reps, coaching it, getting better, guys gaining inches in who they are as a player. You know, you go through spring ball, you're always going to have guys that maybe are coming off from an injury, a surgery, whatever it might be, that aren't a part of your on-field experience in helmet and shoulder pads or scrimmage situations. It's never the end result of where you're at here in spring ball. It's always about continuing to push forward, get better, the inches that you got to gain individually and collectively as a unit. You know, in year one, you're installing from ground zero your schemes, your verbiage, and you're always constantly weighing, you know, the installs that are going to take place that you want to put in. But at the same time, your kids being able to latch onto it enough that they're able to go out there and know how to play and compete. And so our kids are getting better. You know, our scrimmage won. There were a ton of positives on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Kids competed. They made plays. I think you don't ever want to come out of a scrimmage saying that this side completely dominated from play one to play, you know, 100 of your scrimmage. The same thing as you go through spring ball. You probably got some issues if that's the case. We got to continue to recruit, develop our players, and get ourselves where we want to be by the time we kick off next fall.
Everybody wants to talk quarterbacks, but I think one of the more interesting positions on your football team is running back. Seems like you got a lot of quality bodies there, maybe not a lot of experience. What do you like about that group? And one guy that, you know, we have not seen yet, and I know really hadn't been able to do anything since y'all went into pads, is Tyon Evans. What maybe excites you about him that you've not been able to see, but you think could be there?
Yeah, a guy that just got nicked up here, you know, a couple of days into spring ball. The first couple of days you saw him, you know, compete at a high level, play with great pad level, has great vision and does a great job of delivering blockers to the second level. He's a guy that, you know, if he gets healthy, he's going to be able to come back and help us a bunch. You know, later this spring, but as we get into the next fall, guys, should be a big part of what we're doing offensively. That group, youth, not a ton of experience at that position, but guys that I think are getting better every day. Coach Mack has done a great job with that group instilling our offense to have a great understanding of what we're doing in the run game. They're going to get better at playing with better pad level. They've done a fairly good job with ball security here early in spring ball. They're learning our schemes against the different fronts and their ability to hit the right aiming point, press the line of scrimmage, and make sure that they're using the five guys in front of them to help them. They've done a pretty solid job in pass protections as well. That's an area that with young running backs is really critical in their development because that's a big part of what they do on Saturdays. Making sure that they're keeping the quarterback clean and then, you know, being able to catch the football out of the backfield too. Those guys are growing every day in what we're asking them to do.
You're listening to The Nation. We're visiting with Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel. Josh, it's Chris again. Austin mentioned quarterbacks. I know the job's never going to be won in the spring, but what do you pay closest attention to this time of year as you Dawson said, you're about halfway through spring at that position. You just try to evaluate these guys coming out of spring and where you are going into the summer and then the preseason.
Yeah, I think that quarterback's about making the 10 other guys around you a whole lot better. A big part of that is just, you know, your ability to play one play, positive or negative, to reset, go play the next play. Your body language matters, your energy. I think scrimmage situations are awesome for an ability to see how they handle the game management, but do they understand situational football? You know, third down situations, are they in four down territory? Their energy in between plays to be able to get the bigs moving after a big play and allow us to play with tempo, and their ability to recognize the mechanics of it, see a signal, communicate it, and then get their eyes on the second and third level and be able to make decisions. They've made a ton of plays. They've made some bad plays too. They're continuing to learn how to reset in between plays, and it's a group that's been pretty positive with each other too. So we're halfway through. We got a bunch of football yet that we're going to find a whole lot more out about these guys as they get deeper into our playbook here throughout our spring install.
Josh, the transfer portal is a way of life now in college football. How much do you and your staff continue to monitor that portal as you try to continue to grow this roster?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of the free agency waiver in college football, you know. And that's just something that's going to be there from now and until we continue to move forward in college football. It's kind of changed the landscape of recruiting in some sense. You know, for us, you look at where we're at right now. We get a couple guys back here through spring. We get a chance to evaluate those guys, go through practices. Balance the needs of what you need inside of your program. Hopefully find some guys later in the spring, early in the summer that can help this roster out as well and be here to play a high level of football next fall.
I know you've been focused on the guys that are currently here, but have you kind of peeked at some high school film as far as like the guys that you all signed that aren't going to get here till the summertime to see maybe what those kids could give you when they do get here?
Oh, for sure. We did that right when we got here on campus, and those guys had already been signed. That's a part of just evaluating your roster that you currently have. That's guys that are here, guys that are going to be here that you already know about, and you try to, you know, look at their skill set, you know, that you see on tape and where you think they're going to fit in inside of your program at positions and you know, who are the guys that you feel like maybe have a chance to play early and they're going to be able to give you some depth here on this roster as well.
All right, Coach, you've been in town for, what, a couple of months now. Have you ventured out anywhere? I mean, have you found some niches in Knoxville? Somebody told me you were at Long's Drugstore with Glenn Ellerby here lately. Is that right?
we're hitting some of the honey holes, the town favorites here in Knoxville for sure. We're our entire staff when they get a day off, and really a day off might not be the right word to say it. And when they get a few hours off, they're able to get out and find their way around town. You know, more and more of our families are coming into town here. We've got guys moving into their houses and just finding a way around town. You know, the community's been awesome, and it's been great to just get to know some of the people of Knoxville.
Josh, I got it on good authority, though, man. You guys have been grinding pretty hard in there. There hadn't been a whole lot of off days, so I'll throw that out there.
The days, they start early, and they end really late. That is true. You know, the timing of when we took over, it's always a little bit of a rat race in year one. You always kind of feel like you're a little bit behind, but certainly the timing of when I took over made it even a little more difficult for our staff. But we're chipping away at it. Guys are working really hard. Got a great staff here. They do a phenomenal job of investing in our players off the field, do a great job of coaching them, seasoned vets on that side of it, and do a tremendous job in the recruiting realm as well.
You know, when you have had a chance to interact with the fan bases, whether it's, you know, at a restaurant or out and about, what has been – sort of the overriding message of fans to you about what they want out of this program? It's been a tough run. I think 8 losing seasons in the last 13 years. This is a prideful fan base. What has been sort of their message to you when you have interacted with them?
Yeah, excitement about change. I think there's a sense that they want the football program to be a sense of pride, and that's certainly winning football games, absolutely. It's also just the way they conduct themselves and who we are individually and collectively. I think that's really important to the people that are in the UT community. They're in Knoxville. They're in this state and certainly a part of Vol Nation everywhere. We have every tool to have the ability to go chase championships here. Building a foundation and doing it the right way is absolutely critical. Recruit high-character men, develop them, and go chase championships on the field. That's who we are, what we're building, and what we're going to do.
I know you guys have been focused on having, letting the kids have some fun and kind of reinvigorating them and getting them, excited to have fun in practice or whether it be playing, dodgeball or whatever else. I know for prospects, for current players, jerseys and being different and kind of doing those alternate things are important. Will you look to go that route? I mean, Tennessee's wore black before. They've obviously had a few years of the smoky gray. Will you look to kind of talk to some of your players, whether it be your seniors, or is that something that you just want to do yourself?
Yeah, we're going to embrace that, and our administration is as well. I think that's important. The having fun, man, it's important, right? But that comes from having a real relationship with players, what I mean? Them knowing that you care about them as people, not just as players. That allows us to go out and compete really hard in what we do every day. And college football is hard, man. There's a lot of hours that get put in that. There's no reason you can't put those hours in, work really hard, and have fun while you're doing it because you care about the people that you're with. And those experiences, that connection, that's real. You mentioned dodgeball. I mean, that's one thing that we did, for 30 minutes after we got done with the early morning, 6 o'clock winning ed program, and our kids worked their tails off. There's no reason you can't have fun. It's a Super Bowl party. It's guys being connected and hanging out at each other's houses. That's who and what we're going to be, man. That's just what this program is going to be as we move forward. That's in everything and in anything that we do.
Well, I saw one of your support staff tweet a picture of you on a ride at SeaWorld. So I know Dollywood wants to get you. I know Dollywood wants to get you up there on the Blazing Fury in the next month or two.
Hey, I look forward to getting over there to experience a little bit of Dollywood. But I do. I think. Guys are going to work really hard. They're going to come here because they want to chase championships and achieve all their dreams. There's no reason you can't have as much fun as anywhere in the country doing it right here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Well, Josh, man, we really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. And I'm going to let you off the hook. I told you the next time you came on, we're going to make you sing Rocky Top. We'll give you a few more more months to practice on that. But maybe the next time down the road. And I do want to see a one-on-one dodgeball match between you and Coach Garner. That is something we need to try to set up. No chance
that Coach G's got a chance to win that one. No chance.
Well, man, thanks for the time tonight. Good luck to you guys. Best wishes, and we hope to catch up with you soon down the road, okay?
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
That's Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel joining us tonight on The Nation. We'll take our first break here at The Nation Studios and be back in just a couple minutes. All right, back here on The Nation, our thanks to head football coach Josh Heupel for spending some time with us in the last segment, and we also want to give a shout-out to our good friends at Texas Roadhouse, your home for legendary food and legendary service. Visit one of their 16 locations throughout the state of Tennessee area. If you're hungry for a great deal, Texas Roadhouse features 11 early dine entrees for less than $10 on Mondays through Thursdays until 6 p.m., and you can choose from 6-ounce sirloin, barbecue chicken, pulled pork dinner, and many other favorites. Texas Roadhouse is your home for hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides and dressings, fresh baked bread, ice cold beer, and legendary margaritas. AP, I hear we have some movement maybe in the Masters.
Well, we did. We had a little run, 4 straight birdies for Xander Schauffele, pulled him within 2 after Hideki Matsuyama hit his second shot so long on 15 that it went into the 16 pond. But the tee shot on 16 finds the water for Schauffele. And so now, as long as Matsuyama can find the green, he'll have a 2-shot lead, and that will grow with a couple to go.
So Tennessee baseball, overall a good weekend. They win the series over Florida, but, boy, they had a chance to sweep Florida. They're up by 3 runs going in those last few innings. He can't close the door on I was talking to Jay Leifert here before the show. Florida, I know, was close. They're a 500 baseball team right now and playing some younger guys. But, boy, that batting order has some serious pop in it. When you just look at sort of the players on Florida's team and then Tennessee's team as far as the kind of pop in their bats, I think it just reinforces the job that Vitello has done, the mental toughness of this Tennessee baseball team to be where they are, tied for the best lead or the best record in the SEC. But they win their fourth straight SEC series this weekend over Florida, and a huge series coming up this weekend over Vanderbilt. Losing today, though, by one run to Florida. Again, having a chance to sweep the Gators as they go into those last few innings with three runs. And really about the only time, AP, I can remember all year that the bullpen has let Tennessee down. That bullpen has been money for Tennessee just about all season long. Hundley comes in. They touch him up. But, boy, he has been so clutch for this team. And what can you say about the rest of that bullpen? The way they have come in through time and time and time again. This to me today was the exception. I think going forward, it's a bullpen that has proven to this point that Tony Vitello can count on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact is Tennessee won their fourth straight series, first time that's happened since 1970 to open SEC play. And you know, look at the losses they've got. Alabama last week, they have the lead, Chris, and kind of blow one late. Same thing in this. What was their – they had another loss like that, too, where they you know, was it Georgia?
Well, Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
Beat them on a walk-off.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the point is Tennessee, even in their losses, has been right there with an excellent chance to win. And just playing great baseball all the way around. They're hitting it well. They're doing enough on the mound, getting some really good solid performances out of their starters. And you're right. When Tennessee's went to the bullpen, they've been able to deliver. So – this all sets up next week's big series against a Vanderbilt team that lost 2 of 3 to Georgia over the weekend. Does that not pull Tennessee even with the Commodores in SEC play?
I think Tennessee and Vandy are tied for the best record in the
SEC
right
now. They
got
3 losses apiece, right?
I think that's right. Maybe I didn't express or convey what I wanted to at the outset of talking about Tennessee baseball. What I mean is when you look at Tennessee's roster and you look at batting averages and total home runs, and you line that up with some teams like a Florida or an Arkansas or a Vanderbilt, it probably doesn't stack up. But when you go look at performance and delivering in the clutch and the things about baseball, one of the reasons I love baseball is guys like Pav behind the plate. You talk about a guy that's worth an extra run or two just about every game with his defensive work behind the plate, his ability to throw runners out, just how tough he is. And then guys like Kirby Connell. Probably my favorite player on the whole team. Got to love the stash. The stash and the mane, the long hair.
It brings back memories of you in the 80s.
No, I never had.
When you were hanging out with Steve Ray in the way.
No, I never had hair like Kirby's. Not even close. But the guy throws 83, 84, 85, and he just gets guys out. You know, he's got a great curveball. He paints the corner. But when they need guys.
Well, they
guys,
don't get anything solid.
Right. And when they need guys to step up and make big hits. I mean, Evan Russell's a great example of that. I mean, I don't know what he's hitting. It's 200-something. But how many big hits and big extra bases has he had this year? It's a fun team to watch play. I think their batting average is about 10th or 11th in the league. I think they're about 11th in the league in home runs. They're not a team that's going to wow you with power or slamming balls off the wall. But, boy, they find ways to win. And I think this series against Vanderbilt this coming weekend, too bad that they can't pack the place. They would be able to pack it that because of still the COVID protocols, attendance. But, you know, I was watching the Ole Miss-Arkansas game this weekend. There wasn't an empty seat in the stands. I know different states, different counties. I know all that kind of stuff.
I know there's a lot of pressure because that Tennessee-Vanderbilt series is here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's in Knoxville.
Correct. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Knox County to relinquish to the rules next weekend.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And Vanderbilt has – Tim Corbin's done an unbelievable job at Vanderbilt. And the way they recruit and the kind of kids they bring in, Kumar Rocker, the lighter kid. I mean, good luck in finding two better pitchers anywhere in the country, you know, but on the same team, you know, those two guys. But welcome to SEC baseball. Georgia takes 2 of 3 of them this week, the same Georgia team that Tennessee took 2 of 3 a few weeks ago.
And easily could have swept.
Yep. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our second break. We'll try to talk some Tennessee basketball on the next segment. A lot of comings and goings on that Tennessee basketball team. We'll talk some more some Vol hoops on the next segment here on The Nation. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. All right, welcome back into The Nation. Chris Slowe and Austin Price. We are coming to you live from The Nation Studios Let's go back to the phone lines and welcome my good friend, Austin's good friend and colleague at VolQuest, the Vol Hoops czar, Rob Lewis. Rob, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Chris. I feel sorry for you today. I can't imagine that you're getting any kind of focus out of Austin Price
not a lot of drama, Rob. Not a lot of drama.
We had a brief drama, Rob, before Shoffley just choked on 16 and put it in the pond.
So yeah, let's get right to it, Rob. Let's get right to it, man. We're going to all need a program next year when we watch Tennessee basketball.
For all of Tennessee athletics, not just basketball.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of new faces, man.
And it's that way a lot of college basketball. I mean, of course, Tennessee, I think, probably more movement than most. But this you know, the whole transfer world has really just changed college basketball dramatically. I mean, it's added a whole new element that just didn't exist. And for Tennessee this year, you're right. You know, as of now, I think six guys that run last year's team will be back, assuming if Fulkerson comes back. And, you know, that you hear different things at different times on that one. But, you know, not a surprise that they lost the two kids to the NBA, Keon and Jaden. And, you know, I think Devontae Gaines and Drew Pember are just, you know, a matter of playing time. Same with EJ and Anasicki. But, you know, while you maybe didn't lose any stars, I mean, you lost a lot of guys that, you know, we're gonna have a chance to play for you. And so now, you know, Tennessee themselves is heavily involved in the transfer market. They've already added Justin Powell from Auburn, who I think is a really good pickup. They're certainly among the programs that are making a hard push to get Walker Kessler, the former five-star recruit that left UNC. And I think you'll see him make a push for Jonas Adu, another 6'10", top 30 national player from over in Durham who was originally committed to Marquette and is now looking around after the coaching change there.
Yeah, Rob, is there another kid from North Carolina that's transferring, a big kid that Tennessee might be in play for? Or am I thinking
from
about
Walker Kessler?
Yeah. Other than Garrison just entered the portal. So that's another guy that Tennessee will be chasing him.
Yeah, I heard that Tennessee might have a shot with him as well. Yeah.
Rob, your favorite just re-entered the transfer portal. Mac McClung.
don't think there hasn't already been some VolQuest queries thrown out there. And that's what – I mean, I don't think that Tennessee will be interested in him, but I wouldn't rule anything out. But, you know, Tennessee's already passed on him twice coming out of high school and then again when he left Georgetown. And he's a ball dominant, you know, volume shooter at guard, and you're bringing in a freshman in Kennedy Chandler. So I'm at point guard. So I'm not sure that that's a great fit. I mean, I have nothing against Mac as a basketball player. I think he's obviously really talented, led Texas Tech in scoring this year. But I'm not sure how he fits when you're going to try to hand Kennedy Chandler the ball and make it his team as a freshman.
Come on, Rob, man. Mac McClung, the pride of Gates City, Virginia.
He can dunk.
Let me ask you, I get asked this all the time. I know you do too. So we talked about a couple of the big guys in the portal, the Kessler kid. That's probably a priority right now for Tennessee is going and finding somebody that can give them a presence inside. Whether Fulke comes back or doesn't come back, and I'm like you, I hear different things on different days whether or not he will be back. But are there any other names, or how important is that for this team next year to have somebody inside that can get them a bucket or two?
Oh, I think it's really important. And you know, if Fulkerson comes back, the offensive need is lessened. But even if Fulkerson is back, I think they're desperate for some rim protection. I mean, you lose Eve Pons, one of the best shot blockers in you know the history of the program. He was a guy, you know, Rick likes to use the phrase all the time. He was a fix-it guy. He could erase mistakes that his teammates made. And Tennessee doesn't have a guy like that right now. I mean, Plavzik is a 7-foot-1 guy, but he's not a rim protector. He's not a big time rebounder. So even more so than finding somebody that can give you some offense, I think finding somebody that's a real defensive presence in the paint is what this staff is really focused on.
Rob, if they're going to go with the Adu kid from over North Carolina, where does that leave Brandon Huntley Hatfield out of Pennsylvania? And then where does that leave things with the kid out of Catholic?
I think Tennessee has tons
Hunjay
of room.
Tomba.
I think Tennessee still has tons of room. And Tomba still would have to reclassify for that to matter, as would Huntley Hatfield. But, you know, a lot of people think that that's going to happen in both cases. But, you know, Tomba's not a guy that I think Tennessee is looking at, even if he does reclassify, to help them next year. He's a developmental project. He's a guy that, you know, really needs to add some weight, work on his skill. But he is a shot blocker. And Huntley Hatfield is not the same kind of player. He's a four-man that can handle the ball, that likes to play facing the basket. So I don't think it affects either one of those kids. Tennessee, you know, because of all the departures, they've got tons of room. And if Fulkerson comes back, they have eight spots pretty much. You know, you got Chandler has one, Jamai Meshack has one, and Justin Powell has one. So theoretically, you could still have five guys.
So, Rob, you want to take a shot at pronouncing the new French kid's name? You got that down
pat? Oh, my gosh. No, Quentin. Quentin is his first name. I'm
giving you a hard time. What kind of player is he? What's his game from what you've been told? What's it like?
A lot. You know, people want to compare him to Eve because he's French and he's 6'6". But I'm told he's much more skilled. He's a guard, way further along in his skill level. And this doesn't impact how he plays the game. But told that he also has a much firmer grasp of the English language than Eve did when he came over, thanks to, coming over and spending his final year of high school in the States at Montverde Academy. And that's big when you're talking about practice, when you're talking about being able to take coaching, picking up game plans. And, I think that's something that Eve, by the time he left, he spoke great English, but his first year, it was, I think, kind of an obstacle to his development.
We talked a lot about players coming and going, but, when you lose two of your assistants, that makes it difficult too, especially in as you mentioned, trying to recruit the transfer portal and making sure you got the right connections out there with people. What about the new guys? What do you like about the two new guys? What have you heard about the two new assistants?
When you're talking about Rod Clark, really strong track record in the world of grassroots basketball. He's a young guy. I think that was really important to Rick to get another young guy. He liked what Kim English brought to the staff, to the culture of the team. But, not necessarily being in the same generation as the players, but not very far removed. They could certainly relate to them. And in Clark, I think that same kind of spark. He got his start working with one of Nike's powerhouse grassroots program in Kansas City, which is traditionally one of the best in the country. Moved on from there to as an assistant at a place called Sunrise Christian Academy, which is a year in and year out, they're loaded. That's where Kennedy Chandler is coming from, where he spent his senior year. Has a lot of connections in the recruiting world and really well regarded as a bright young coach. And has Gainey been announced yet?
No, but I think in talking to some people over there, I think that's the way they're going to go with Coach Gainey from Marquette.
Same here. I just haven't, seen that. But I've been watching the Masters this afternoon. But Gainey is played ball at NC State. So we'll bring a lot of the same connections that you're losing with Des Oliver. Been around the South, has a lot of ties to the areas where Tennessee has been pulling players, and was well-regarded at Marquette. And that's the reason I mentioned Jonas Adu a minute ago, is that Gainey is the guy that pulled him from Durham to Milwaukee. And I think it just makes sense to think that they're going to remain involved there.
Rob, how would you handicap things with John Fulkerson's decision?
I mean, the latest I have heard is that people seem to think he's coming back. But that's, to me, I mean, until the kid pulls the trigger and says that, there's some level of uncertainty. Like Chris just said a minute ago, I've heard different things at different times. At this current moment, there seems like there's some optimism that he is going to return. But, until he tweets it out or puts it on Instagram, I guess there's a level of mystery there.
Certainly sounds like it's just basically a decision. Does he want to continue to play basketball? Because I think he's going to give up the game and focus on life after basketball if he doesn't play, right?
Well, unless he wants to go to Europe. I mean, he could probably hook up with a team in Europe or play in the G League. But, I think with John's education and ties, I mean, he could probably make himself a better living. If he, as you say, got on with life, then quit that route.
Well, Rob, man, we appreciate you breaking it down. I like you. The latest I hear is that there's at least some optimism that that Fulke will be back, but I think that has sort of swayed back and forth over the last 3 or 4 weeks, so we'll see where it ends.
Well, the good news is, Chris, we were able to have Rob on for the last 15 minutes. He never broke up or anything. He was excellent cell service, which means he likely pulled a Green Acres and climbed one of those massive trees near his house to get out, because normally when I call him, it's like spotty at best. Oh, there's Flash.
Is that Dave Nathan's dogs barking in the background there, Rob?
That's my Basset Hound Flash.
Well, listen, man, we appreciate the info, appreciate the insight, appreciate you joining us here on The Nation, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. That's VolQuest, Rob Lewis. We want to remind fans that, as we had earlier today, Josh Heupel on the show, that Josh and the Tennessee Vols will take the field at Neyland Stadium on Saturday, April 24th for the annual Chevrolet Orange and White game. Kickoff time and further details about the game will be announced. So mark your calendar today. That's the Chevrolet Orange and White game. And we'll be back for our final segment on The Nation in just a couple minutes. Welcome back into The Nation. Our thanks to Josh Heupel, who joined us earlier today, and Rob Lewis from VolQuest, breaking down Tennessee hoops. Big news nationally, certainly in the state today, AP. Eddie George, Titans legend, former Heisman Trophy winner at Ohio State, will be named the new head football coach at Tennessee State. Tennessee State Athletic Director Mickey Allen, former Vol football player, worked in Tennessee's athletic department for years, pulling off a pretty big splash. Now, what kind of football coach would Eddie George be? I mean, obviously that remains to be seen. Tennessee State sort of going the route that Jackson State did with Deion Sanders. But you talk about publicity and pop and kids sort of sitting straight up and say, wait a minute, I got a chance to go play for Eddie George. I think when you're Tennessee State, when you're an FCS school, a school that's sort of looking, you know, Rod Reed is the guy that they're moving on from, has been there for a while, looking sort of to freshen it up, make a statement. I think it's a smart move by Mickey Allen and Tennessee State to do this.
Well, they get a lot of pub out of this. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the staff looks like at TSU. You know, I think Peerless Price is doing something over there with TSU right now. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. You know, all fall along, and I know you heard this too, you know, the notion was if they decided to move on from Coach Reed, that T. Martin was likely going to get a lot of traction there. But once TSU played in the spring and T moved on to the NFL, then I think, you know, T wasn't going to go to the NFL for 5 minutes and come right back. That would have hurt him. So, like, I think that, you know, he was kind of, you know, pigeonholed there with just the way that thing went down with them playing spring and the fact that Tennessee got rid of all their coaches and he had to go find a new job. So, you know, he's with the Ravens and Eddie George steps in and we'll see how long this lasts. Is this something where he's going to, you know, have success and then parlay that into a bigger and bigger job, you know, or, you know, is this kind of one of those things where he just wants to try it out? I mean, you never know how it goes. You've seen successful coaches that were successful players, and then you've seen players that tried it that were successful on the field or on the court, depending on the sport, and then they just flamed out. So what's Eddie George going to be? I think the most important thing for him is surrounding himself with other quality coaches.
I think he'll do that. I think you'll see one of the guys you'll see on his staff is the son of Jeff Fisher, the former Titans coach, Brandon Fisher. I think you'll see him be a part of that staff. You know, I like the fact that Mickey Allen and the Tennessee State administration is not afraid to think outside the box a little bit here. You know, you see sometimes schools go through and sort of regurgitate coaches.
Well, I mean, that's the only way you get any juice.
Right.
I mean, when you're Tennessee State, if you just go hire your regular common coach and you're just going to be kind of, you know, status quo, going to be stagnant. You get a little bit of juice hiring Eddie George. I mean, that's going to be, think about it, that's everything on Nashville sports radio today, tomorrow. Then they have the press conference. I mean, you're going to get like a several-day run out of this before you even get settled.
Yeah, and think about it, it's not just any former Pro Bowler. It's about as big an icon as you have seen in the mid-state for the Titans, and Eddie George is going to be the head football coach there at Tennessee State. All right, we got a couple minutes left. I'm going to hit you with your favorite part of the show, the Marathon Question of the Week. With a full tank of freedom, you can find your own highway and discover the true spirit of the American Road Marathon, fueling the American spirit. We had Josh Heupel on earlier, and he mentioned that they were going to be aggressive and certainly looking to see ways to grow their football team, to grow their roster in the transfer portal. AP, how active do you think they'll be and looking for another quarterback, and might we see him take a shot at a Joe Milton?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, depending on the rest of spring, I think that will determine whether they go after a quarterback or not. Do I think Joe Milton would have interest in Tennessee? Yes, I do. You know, right now, Tennessee's interest from players in the portal, to me, are the ones that haven't been on the field that want to get on the field. If you're Texas's leading tackler went into the portal, Chris. That's a kid that's well-established. He's not going to come to a program like Tennessee. He's going to try to go to a program that has a chance to compete for a championship next year. that needs linebacker help. You know, so like to me, Tennessee's got to go after the players that, you know, potentially could be good, but they, for whatever reason, they've not been able to get on the field at their current school. Tennessee's had some interest in Tommy Bush, the wide receiver from Georgia. He's been injury plagued. He might be a candidate, but I think Tennessee's starting to feel better about their wide receivers, so they may not go that route. But a quarterback, if you, again, I said this the other day, if Tennessee needs to take three coming out of spring, you take three coming out of spring, because ultimately, if you don't fix that position, then what do you really accomplish? You've got to do that above anything else. You've got to fix the quarterback position at all costs, do whatever it takes. If it takes taking five guys to find one, it is what it is, as long as you find the guy.
Well, and plus you're transitioning to a completely new system under Josh Heupel with a guy who's got a good track record of coaching and developing quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's obviously had three through spring. They'll have Caden Salter. I think he's back sometime this week, and he'll start the acclimation process of practicing in a T-shirt and shorts and then eventually get his pads in a couple of practices.
So, again, if you're Josh Heupel, you want to have two or three or four options to look at and sort of see, especially taking on these guys playing this offense for the first time and under his system. All right, our thanks to Josh Heupel. Our thanks to Rob Lewis for joining us tonight on The Nation. Our thanks to my main man, AP, Jay Lyford. We'll see you next Sunday right here at The Nation Studios for The Nation. So long, everybody.